الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد, the Shaykh, may Allah preserve and protect him, continues in this khutbah what he started last week, dealing with the Dawla Safawiya. And he initiated this particular Friday sermon by saying that in the previous khutbah we had discussed some of the issues pertaining to the Ad-Dawla Safawiya, how they were established, how they spread their bloodthirsty politics and their aqidah of the Rafida, those who refused, Rafida from reject, because they rejected the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. And the Shaykh said, today we will continue discussing the new things which they had done and other actions of theirs which negate Islam. The events in Iraq today are nothing but history repeating itself, so that the whole world can see once again the reality of these Safawiyin and the fact that they are the people with the black turbans. That's what they're known for. That has often affected the emotions of Muslims and made them scream and scream, and made them scream and curse. Today we see them putting their hands with their hands, and a fatwas are issued that it is not permissible to fight against the occupiers. Meaning that those in charge in Iraq now among these Rafida, the fatwa which their ulama make or issue is that you cannot fight the occupiers. You cannot fight the country which is taken over your country. You have to submit to them because they are the new rulers. Even though in front of us they curse them and they, you know, they make all these claims and they say that this is, you know, they are our allies. And what greater ally is that? Is than that? He said, the Ra'is, the director of the great of the council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq, stood up, explaining his objective and their goals behind the Safawiyin by saying, we will give the people of Sunnah in Iraq three options. We will give the people in Sunnah in Iraq three options, to which there is no fourth. Either that they become Shia, or they leave Iraq, or they get killed. Either you join them, or you get out, or they will kill you. Ajib. The Shaykh said the Shia have once again committed atrocities which the tongue cannot even begin to express, nor can the heart encompass. They've burnt over 200 masjid and they've killed hundreds of thousands of men, and they made thousands of people migrate from their cities to the suburbs and other places. They aim and assassinate the imams of the masjid, the people of knowledge, the people of intellect, and those with high qualifications. Their atrocities and crimes have exceeded the ones that the Jews did in Palestine, and so much, and even beyond what we have seen in Bosnia. Rather, they have become worse, that the grandchildren of Abi Lu'lu'a al-Majusi. Have you heard of that name before? Abu Lu'lu'a, who's Abu Lu'lu'a? He's the one who stabbed Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He's the one who stabbed Umar ibn al-Khattab while leading them in Salatul Fajr. And then many of the Sahaba attacked him, and he managed to stab a few more before they got him. So the grandchildren of Abu Lu'lu'a, they have went to the extent of violating the sanctity of Muslim women. In other words, rape. And they are the grandchildren of Abu Lu'lu'a, because who's their enemy? Umar. Who's the enemy of? Imagine imagine a group of people whose enemy is the companion of the Messenger of Allah. Not anyone, no one from the Mubashareen bil Jannah, one who was giving glad tidings to Jannah. Not anyone, the Khulafa al Rashideen. These are the main enemies: Uthman, Umar, and Abu Bakr. This is their deen. This is their deen. Be careful of them. May Allah destroy them. The Shaykh said, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. These Magians, like fire worshippers, today they abandon the occupiers and they kill the Muslims. And they don't care whether the young or the old cry. Their hearts have become harder than wild animals. And what happened to the Tatar is not far in terms of time. You all know at the time of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Baghdad was the city of Khilafah, meaning it was like the capital of the Islamic empire, if we may call it that way. And the Khalifa had a minister who was a Rafidi. His name is Ibn al-Alqami. He betrayed the Khalifa and he conspired with the Tatar against him. So the Tatar refused except that they enter into Baghdad. They refused to enter Baghdad because they had an army of 100,000 warriors. The Tatar were reluctant. They were afraid. This, and the Khalifa continued to let go of some of the soldiers. And let go of some of the soldiers until they were weakened. And they became weak. And then he said, verily the Tatar want to occupy and conquer Baghdad. So he sent out to them the biggest among the scholars and the ministers and the khutaba, so they may stop their evil. And the Khalifa went out with 700 of the leaders of his community. As soon as he made it there, they killed all of them. This was the conspiracy. The minister was conspiring with the Tatar that the Khalifa will take out the elite, if we may call them, of the community to go there. And as soon as they go there to negotiate, they kill them. So then the Tatar was taken back and occupied by the Baghdad, was taken by the Tatar, and it was no longer in the possession of the Muslims. So they killed every Sunni Muslim. They slaughtered them. And all this is because of the treachery and the wickedness of this minister, Ibn al-Alqami, la'anahu Allah, may Allah curse him. What is the Persian Magian country which we see today that has exposed its teeth and it has become the land to which every Shia migrates to? This is their homeland. This is their resource. And it claimed that it will establish the Islamic empire through the Islamic revolution. And you know about that movie. The Shaykh said, verily the danger of these is greater than the danger of the Jews and the Christians. Because the Jews and the Christians, they have their enmity. Their enmity is outwardly. You could tell. It doesn't need a genius to figure it out. But these ones, it is inwardly. It is not displayed before you. And we mentioned that last week. So the Shaykh said, and their enmity against the people of Sunnah is even worse and long, more lasting than that of the Jews and the Christians. And they work in secret ways in order to occupy and ruin every Muslim land. And this year, they're in Iraq. Next year, we don't know who will be their next victim. Slaves of Allah, these Persian Magians, again, Magians are fire worshippers, Majus, heard that before. From among the greatest fundamental principles in their deen is takfir. Takfir is the declaration of kufr against the Muslim. They just don't think you're a Muslim. They can say you're a kafir, just like that. Wallan, cursing, as in la'natullah. Wasab is cursing, which is profanity. Bad language, just foul mouth. And against who? against the best of this ummah. And on top of them are Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum. And whosoever is pleased with them among the Sahaba, whoever among the Sahaba was pleased with Abu Bakr and Umar, he also is a kafir, according to the Rafida. But rather they believe you should kill him. Not only that he is a kafir, he must be killed. And Allah Azza wa Jal had commanded us that those who follow the generation of the Sahaba, that we should seek forgiveness for them and supplicate for them. Supplicate for them, meaning supplicate to Allah on their behalf. Be careful, because the prepositions will ruin the meaning. You say supplicate to them, you know, I just tell you quickly an interesting story because of language and da'wah terminology. Some non-Muslim was being given da'wah by a bunch of Arabs. And he kept giving him da'wah, you know, with the weak language, weak English he had. Finally the person embraced Islam after a lot of da'wah. So now that he embraced Islam, one of the brothers went to him and he wanted to tell him to make dua for him. So he went to him and said, "Pray to me, brother." And the new Muslims, you've been telling me about Tawheed this whole time, you give me books about Tawheed, then you tell me, "Pray to me." He didn't say, "Pray for me." He said, "Pray to me, brother. Pray to me." And the non-Muslim was shocked. Said, "You know, this whole time you were tricking me to become a Muslim so I can make you my God at the end of the day." And he didn't know. Someone else had to explain, he means make dua, supplicate for Allah, you know, to Allah on his behalf. So instead of saying, "Pray for me," he said, "Pray to me." Yani, I become your object of worship and you do salah to me, not for me. So that preposition mixed up the whole thing. So you have to be very careful when it comes to da'wah. Of course, no one is perfect. But as much as we can, we try to learn these things so we will not wind up delivering a message other than Islam to the non-Muslims or to the new Muslims. Anyways, look what Allah taught us. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا وَلَا غِلٌّ غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And those who come after them, they say, "Our Lord, اغْفِرْ لَنَا, forgive us. وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا, and to our brothers, الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ, those who preceded us in faith." Anyone who came before us as a Muslim, oh Allah, forgive us and forgive them. Then look, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا, do not place in our heart any enmity, any envy, any hatred, any detesting, anything that is against the sound, pure heart. Oh Allah, do not place in our hearts any of that. إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, verily you are the one who is most compassionate, the most merciful. Yani Allah is teaching us that when you come after, you make dua for you and for them. And you ask Allah to keep your heart pure concerning any differences, like the differences between Muawiyah and Hassan or anything. We don't make this a big deal. Everyone was a mujtahid. He was making his effort to please Allah. So we do with, we نَتَرَضَّ عَنْهُمْ جَمِيعًا. We ask Allah to be pleased with all of them. We don't have hatred against any of them. Don't take a picture, ya akhi. Unless there is a video camera, barakallah feek. If it's video, fine. If it's a still image, I'm against that. Ma'i? So we were taught by Allah to make dua for them. And these people, they go against this ayah to the extent that not they only make dua for them, they curse them. Ajeeb. How bad can one can get, and to what extent can one go against the teachings of the Quran and the instructions of Allah Azza wa Jal? The Shaykh said, from among the deviant behaviors among these Magians, is that we find that they have nullified Salah and Zakah, even though they are two pillars of the pillars of Islam. And you will find that their masajid, you will hardly find any dhikr or any salah. And if you find someone, he would be screaming and crying and beating himself, calling on Ali and Hassan and Hussein and what have you. That the one that they supposed they, you know, they killed, so they cry over him out of, you know, lies and showing off and reputation. And you will find at the grave sites, they're begging the inhabitants of the graves, and they're making sujood for them, as opposed to making sujood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did they leave of worship? And wallahi al-azim, I'm not lying. We were in Hajj. We were in Hajj with the new Muslims. The new Muslims from different countries. And we were in one of the tents over there in Mina. And while we're sitting with the new Muslims, giving them a dars, teaching them, you know, the deen, we hear in the next tent, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ like 500 times. Until the new Muslim said, what is this? Is this a act of worship you didn't teach us? Are we supposed to repeat إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ? We said, Allahu A'lam. And right after, all of a sudden, Ya Hassan, Ya Hassan, Ya Ali, and they started calling on the Hassan and Hussein and Ali. Which means that the whole time they were saying Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in was not for Allah. This is on Hajj. And the new Muslims were traumatized. They couldn't believe it. They just came from Christianity. They just came from calling on Jesus and on the saints and on the Pope to the Tawheed, and these people brought them back even worse than the Christians. So by Allah's grace, the next day we delivered a lecture and we smashed them. We made them hear it. We delivered a lecture given the evidences and the aqeedah of Ahl-Sunnah al-Jama'ah while they can hear us next door. So everyone can have the clarity. But listen, in Hajj, during the Hajj is all Tawheed. They're committing shirk and calling on others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you go on YouTube, you'll see plenty of that. You'll see plenty of that. You know, prostrating to graves and dead people. عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا يَسْتَحِقُّونَ. Rather, they have stolen the fifth of the wealth which belongs to the weak, and they tricked them. And we mentioned last week, they give them to their scholars and to their leaders. They give them the fifth, which belongs, the kamani, which belongs to the needy, they give it to their ulama, even if they're wealthy, so they can continue to propagate the false teachings. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and they twist the ayah. They twist the ayah. Allah says, and know that whatever you acquire of war booty, then verily to Allah belongs its fifth and to His Messenger, and to those who are of close kinship. So then they twisted the meaning of the ayah, and they made that the ayah is in reference to their ulama, because they are dhul qurba, Ahlul Bayt. So they always have a twist. You won't believe. According to the Shia, you know how many women you can marry? Guess. Guess how many women you are allowed to have under you simultaneously according to the Shia. Then can anyone guess? Four? You wish. 9. 9. You know how? They say it's in the Quran and the Sunnah. As for the Quran, Allah says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثِ 5 وَرُبَاعِ and 4. They say this is 9. And they say, how many did the Messenger of Allah have, alayhi salatu wasalam? 9. So, the Quran and the Sunnah say that you have to have 9 wives. Ajib. Can someone explain the ayah in this fashion? Ibn Abbas didn't know, Ibn Mas'ud didn't know, none of the Sahaba knew that the ayah meant addition. We all know it doesn't mean addition, meaning 2 or 3 or 4. No, they twist the meaning. مرج البحرين يلتقيان. They say this is Ali and Fatima. The two oceans, Allah brought them together, so they meet. It's not speaking about the oceans, هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ وَجَاجٌ. No, it's speaking about Ali and Fatima. They twist the book of Allah, just like the Jews. Just like the Jews with their book. Any ayah they bring it, they come and make it their own interpretation to mislead the general masses. These are the Shia, just in case you didn't know. The Shaykh said, O Ummah of Muslims, with this establishment of this Shia in Iran, of this Shia country or whatever you want to call it, institute in Iran, many, many aspects of our lives have changed drastically. In all aspects of life. Aqidah wise, intellectually, artistically, politically, economically, and socially. And these Iranians strive to go against the people of Sunnah with a sword pulled out in every aspect of our lives. In everything we have, they want to go against us and oppose us. The Sheikh said, I'm reading this for the first time, obviously. كَمَا كَانَ قِيَمْ هَذِي الدَّوَلَ مُقْتَرِيًا بِالْقَضَاءِ عَلَى مَدَى بَلِ السُنَّةِ فِي الْإِيرَانِ. Aha. And part of the criteria, part of the fundamentals of this establishment of Iran was that they eliminate any existence of Ahl-Sunnah in Iran. They don't want them to have any say, any involvement. And so we know and we've heard about many of them being killed and being slaughtered over the passage of years and making their affairs much difficult. Rather, while they welcome the Christians and they respect them and they love them and they honor them as we mentioned last week. And furthermore, they strengthen their economical relationship with various Christian countries in Europe. And they allowed their merchants to come and to deal freely in Iran, in the market. And they bypassed and let go of some of the, you know, restrictions with the Europeans and their merchants, which encouraged the Europeans to have further investment in that Gulf, in the Gulf area. And then furthermore, they facilitated through these economical passages, military ones. And they gave them access to some places so they can establish their military bases, such as in Portugal and in Holland and in the England, the Britain. And this was one of the main reasons why there was the European colonization of these countries, with the facilitation of Iran and the Shia. The Sheikh said, this particular country, Iran, this Magian Shia country, has objectives. Some of them are expressed verbally, outwardly, and some of them they keep in a hidden agenda. So, wherever you find them in Lebanon, and you find them in Iraq, and you will find that they have some effect in Syria. Then you know the Houthiyin in Yemen, which was very recent. And any place you will find that they have some establishments, some you know, hidden organizations striving and helping the Shia against Ahl Sunnah in every Muslim country, even in Pakistan. Even the Philippines, they haven't left any country except that they're trying to turn it into Shiism. The Sheikh said, this extension has made it to interference in different countries. And they are the reason behind many of the revolutions, however it comes, by creating lies and fabrications. You know Bahrain, and you know what's going on in Syria. And just in case you didn't know, the president of Syria is one of them. Many people don't know that. They are a minority among the Syrians who are upon aqidah of these people. It is known for those who live in the Middle East. This is not unknown to us. Middle Eastern people know very well who this person is and who is helping him and from where his support is coming. So you find that they have hidden hands behind every revolution or any revolution where they try to take over and overthrow the ruler or keep an oppressive ruler in place so he can continue to humiliate and take advantage of the Sunnis wherever they may go. Furthermore, they established their tree, Hizb al-Shaytan, in Lebanon. They call it Hezbollah. And it is not Hezbollah. You know Hezbollah, inshallah, are you. Hezbollah are the Muslims, Ahl Sunnah. These are Hizb al-Shaytan. And the guy's name is Hassan Nasrallah. I call him Hassan Akhzahullah. Hassan Fashalahullah. Because he's one of the biggest liars in the world. They're very good actors. I know my country. They pretended they were defending southern Lebanon from the Jews. And all of a sudden they turned their weapons on Beirut. And they attacked Beirut and they tried to overthrow and they tried to kill the Muslims. They and the Israel are our best friends, man. This is a big Hollywood movie. If someone really thought the Shia was defending the Muslims, he must be really confused politically. This is no way. They are their aides and supporters. But they play games. And they try to trick the general masses. The Sheikh said they're trying to actually have something similar to Hezbollah in every every Muslim country. They want to have an organization like them. And through them they're able to overtake and overcome and defeat the Sunni Muslims. And they are the ones that create these revolutions. And they try to eliminate security and peace in these lands. The Sheikh said we have to be careful of them and their geographical advancement and the means in which they use to overcome the Muslim countries while they're trying to establish their empire on our expense. Al-Muhim. So the Sheikh then at the end made dua in the first khutbah. We're almost done. I know you're being very patient. Jazakum Allah khairan. An American author named Dr. Trita Parsi, I guess. Sounds like a female, but he said it's a professor of international relationships in Johns Hopkins University. He authored a book called At-Tahaluf Al-Ghadir, the treacherous allies, or At-Tahaluf, can't think of the word now. Al-Kulhad, the treacherous communication or conspiracy between Israel, Iran, and America, meaning what they have, you know, cooked in the back without anyone knowing about it. And this book basically lays emphasis on very technical, intricate information which is being exposed primarily for the first time about what happens in these countries behind the scenes and the level of communication that they have between them and the plans which they have had. And I remember myself reading a couple of books in the past. One of them is called Deliberate Deceptions. Deliberate Deceptions. And believe me, if you look through even the United... Just sit down, Habib. Jazakallah khair. Sayara GMC. Red GMC blocking someone. Allah musta'an. You should have seen how I made it here. I parked over there near the Tatbila almost. Had to walk on my feet because the roads are blocked. Can't even come in. Allah musta'an. Ala kulli hal. And that book, Deliberate Deceptions, and if you read the record of the United Nations, you'll be shocked. How they violate every command or every rule that the United Nations makes concerning the rights of Palestine, they violate it. If it's against their interests. And when it is not against their interests, it's with their interests, they say, refer back to the United Nations. So they use it as a toy in their hands. The Sheikh said, this author believes that there's a triangular conspiracy between these three countries. And among the confidential information which the book exposes is that official representatives of Iran, whenever they found a chance to gain the trust of the American administration so that it may provide them with the financial aid that helped them in overtaking Iraq in the year 2002 through communication between them. And so there was a deal that they struck with one another. And basically all that was one of the means which led to the war which we continue to have in Iraq. Furthermore, the author says, while the Americans are attacking and occupying Iraq, Iran is working on preparing what will come next by negotiating with the Americans and the Israelis simultaneously. So these people fight outwardly and these people fight behind the scenes, preparing for what is to come next. And the greatest surprise in this is that Iran is ready to admit in the validity or the legal existence of Israel. They're willing to say that Israel has the right to be established in Palestine, which remains to be amazing. How can a country be allowed to establish its country in another country? But Iran is willing to make that acknowledgement. Then at the end, the Sheikh said, furthermore, the author said, Iran has tried many times to approach the United States, but Israel was always the one fearing that this may jeopardize the relationship between them. Sharon, may Allah never heal him from a sickness, said in his diaries, and I have never seen in the Shia any enmity to Israel, not in the long range or in the short range. I've never found in them any enmity. And this is the end of his speech. And he has said the truth, one of the Orientalists who said, had it not been for the Shia, today the people in Europe would be reading the Quran. So the Shaykh said, this is their aqidah, and this is their madhab, and this is their way. And he made dua that Allah Azza wa Jal saves us from them. And we really need to be careful concerning the plots that are happening. The two things which don't come together, as they say, oil and water. And this is us and the Shia. No matter how much they claim that they are fine and that they like you and that they never believe it. Because their aqidah from the root is against the best of people. لا خير فيهم والله. There's no goodness in someone who believes evil about Abu Bakr and Umar. There's an announcement for, which is good news for you. Don't leave yet. I think I have it on as a text message. So I'll save you the headache. A comprehensive Islamic education course for women. Sorry brothers. In the Urdu language. At Dar Umm Sulaym in Rihab. It's nearby. It covers Aqidah. They get to learn Quran in Arabic directly through word-to-word translation, tafsir, tajweed, seerah, hadith, etc. Interviews are on the 16th and the 18th of May from 9 till 11 a.m. Today is what? 13th. So 16th will be what? Sunday or something like that. Now, 16th and 18th of May from 9 to 11 a.m. If you have any further questions, take out your phone and write down the number 617-0582. The phone number to call is 02, obviously it's a landline in Jeddah, 617-0582. The class will be the 5 days, Saturday through Wednesday at the Institute. The course timings are 3 days a week from 8:30 till 12:30. 3 days a week from 8:30 to 12:30. That's the announcement.
I got some pamphlets.
Flyers? Beautiful. He's got some flyers if you want more details. Shu'aib al-Rahman. Fadilat al-Sheikh Shu'aib al-Rahman. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib, jazakumullah khair. And inshallah, if you all remain alive and healthy, we'll see you next week. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.